living in very difficult times, and people are wondering and asking the question, what's going to happen next? Where's it all going to end? You know, it's a wonderful thing to have answers. And we're glad tonight, friend, that we do have the answer. And we'd like to share it with you for a few minutes at the close of this meeting. We've read tonight from two places in the Bible. One place, wilt thou go with this man? And we're going to see where he went. The other place, in Genesis chapter 24, we have a question that was asked to a young woman. Would she be the bride of a young man whose name was Isaac? She never saw him. And the servant says to this young woman, wilt thou go with this man? And she went out, as it were, you might say, in the dark. He never saw, didn't know what he looked like. But there was something about him. There was something about the presentation of this man to the servant that captured her heart. She said, I will go. She wasn't sorry. She wasn't sorry. I suppose today people feel trapped upon the earth. I think if I was a young person, I would feel very trapped. There's all kinds of things today, and you wonder, where am I going to go now? What corner am I going to escape in? There's a drug scene. There's the drinking. There's the unemployment. There's sex. There's all kinds of things that are evolving all around in this world, and the world is crying out and saying, this is where you find it. You can catch it here. And so man in his pursuit, whether it be materialism or whether it be pleasure, he's on the move and he's searching and he's seeking and he's trying somehow or another after it's all over. He seems to be still empty. And he said, now, this isn't really it. And he's trapped. And I look tonight as I think of a world of people in this world that are trapped and captured and they're held fast in the bondage of Satan and sin. That's the only logical answer that I can find. You can blame it onto a lot of things if you like, friend, but when you get right down to it, the problem lies with man and his sin. And Satan, who is well and alive upon planet Earth tonight, just look around and see what he is doing. In all his deceiving ways in which he is keeping people captivated. I was reading an interesting story just recently of a prison in Germany in the Second World War. It was a castle. And the Germans were pretty proud of this castle, and they were trying to make a boast that nobody could ever escape. In that castle were a number of officers from different countries, and that's where they kept them. And I thought to myself as I read this scene, this story, this true story of the desperation, the hours, the days, the months, and even into the years of planning to escape the castle. Some did and were recaptured, but some got away. It's amazing some of the things that they went to or tried in getting out of that castle. On one occasion, the men were out in a courtyard in a park, and they dug a hole, and they got around this man, a little man, and he buried himself in the hole, and they covered him up. And then they had a dummy rigged up so that when they were called to march back into the castle, they kind of rigged this dummy up so that they would think that he was one of the number. And they thought they had done it all right. Only to find that when the dogs were let out into the park to find out if there was anybody hiding in the bushes anywhere, one dog saw the loose dirt and he began to dig it up. And sure enough, there was this man buried under the earth. But I thought to myself, the desperation that lies upon the desire of freedom. And we are locked tonight in a conflict in this earth. And men and women are captivated by Satan and sin. And they need to be set free. And the business, my friend, of the preaching of the gospel is to point out that you are bound by sin and you are a captive to Satan. And then to point out to you, friend, the great liberator for your soul. Now, Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you have a soul, an ever-dying soul, a soul, my friend, that's in that body of yours. And God is interested in it. Wilt thou go with this man? What was this man doing in Luke chapter 16? He was living and he was faring sumptuously every day. He was enjoying all the things that his hands could get a hold upon. His attitude was, whatever I can find upon the earth that will satisfy me is what I'm after. As far as his soul was concerned, as far as his meeting with God was concerned, why it never seemed to get anywhere in his thinking. Maybe it's crossed your mind, but you have never allowed it, my friend, to penetrate into your thinking and into your soul. Where are you going to be 5 minutes after you die? You know that it's not going to last forever. It's not just going to go on this way all the time. Somewhere, my friend, along life's journey, you're going to be ushered from time into eternity. What about it then? This man made three discoveries. He discovered that there is a time when a man must die, and that as a man lives, and as a man is, so shall he die. And as he dies, so shall he be for all eternity. And my friend, listen. This man lived in sin. He never laid hold upon the eternal issues that confronted him. And he grabbed for everything in this world. And there came a day when he died, and he was buried, and he was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou, my friend, continue in a life of disregard to God, and live in your sin, and to die, my friend, with your soul in sin, never being brought to a place of forgiveness and salvation? We've been hearing about tonight the Christ of God who gave himself a ransom for your soul on Calvary's cross. But I want you to think about this man. He not only discovered the wages of sin was death, but he discovered that after he died, there was another world. Why, the world is telling us tonight, through the occult, there's something out there. They say we can make tables rise and move across the floor. We are contacting what is on the out there. And we can read it in the stars about our life. And we can grapple with the future of what it's going to be like and how it's going to fare with us. The occult, my friend, is only the satanic powers that are around to deceive the souls of men and women. And this man discovered that after he died, there was a real something after death. You don't die like a dog. And he realized that there was a terrible tragedy after death. There was a place called hell. But he was in it. What a discovery. And he discovered there was a place called heaven. And he wasn't in it. My friend, if you were to die tonight, as you are in this meeting, where would your soul be? What would you discover, my friend? Would you discover the glories of God in heaven? Because you came to know Christ as your Savior and you had your sins forgiven. Or would you, my friend, discover that after a life of sin and pleasure, as you die, so will you be, all your sin, in that place of a lost eternity, forever and ever. What a tragedy. But he made another discovery. He discovered that he'd never get out, and he could never get saved. I've always been struck with a preacher who was saved in the prison. Well, he wasn't a preacher, mind you. And after he got out, he got saved and then he became a preacher. Or he was saved in the prison, got out, and then he became a preacher. And he said, you know, he said, one of the things that I look back upon would be in the night hours when I would hear prisoners cursing and taking their fists and beating the doors and sometimes even their very heads. And he said they were crying or repenting for their evil and their sin. They were saying, oh, why did I get caught? What a fool I was to make this step or to do that. And I got caught, I got caught. He said they weren't repenting of their sin. They were gnashing their teeth because they got caught in their sin. That's what Jesus meant, friend, when he talked about this place where sinners are going to be for all eternity, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because they got caught in their sin. Weeping and wailing for all eternity. Wilt thou go with this man? They had Moses and the prophets. Oh, he said, send someone to my five brethren, lest they come to this place of torment. He says they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What do you think of the Bible tonight? Oh, I don't know. Is it really true? My prop says it's not. Why, I've read books and it tells us that the Bible isn't really true. And I've heard preachers and they say, well, you can't really believe everything in the Bible. Like a woman listening to a preacher. And he said, well, you know, we can't really know if this is really true. And we can't be sure of this. And after about a year, he came around to see this dear woman. And he saw the Bible and he picked it up. He said, listen, he said, what happened here? He said, you got all the pages here. Cut here and cut there and cut there. Well, she said, you've been saying that you didn't, were sure this was true and you didn't think this was true. I don't want anything in the Bible that wasn't true. So he said, I cut it out. Listen, friend, listen. We have a Bible tonight. And we must come to grips with this word tonight. It seems that we're going back into heathenism and we won't almost have to begin to teach people, the very basics of the value of the Word of God. The scriptures that we have, he says, testify to them. You know what that word means? Testify. That which is irresistible and undaunted. The Word of God, get it to them, is what this man is crying from hell to go to his five brethren. He knows that this is real and he knows they are coming there. And we know, friend, maybe you're here tonight and somebody has brought you here that has been saved by the grace of God and they know where you're going. They were on the same road. They were in the same street. They were in the same place. My friend, we testify to you just as Moses and the prophets testified. This Bible, my friend, is inerrant. That is freedom from error. There is no error in the Bible. This Bible is infallible. My friend, which simply means it's free from deception. This book will not deceive you, my friend. This book is plenary. That is, it's full. It's the full Holy Scriptures, the Old and the New Testament. Nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away from it. It is the verbal Word of God. That is, the writers were so guided that it was as with God Himself who breathed it through them, as you want to put it that way, to give us the very living Word of God. Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What did the preacher say in the old days? What did the preacher say in the New Testament? What are the preachers saying tonight? We're saying, my friend, just the very same thing they said to people in that day who were sunk in ruin and sin and misery. Listen to what they said. I think as they come before us on the stage of time in their day as they spoke to the people, I think of Enoch. And as he preached for people before that great flood, he said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, and he's going to execute judgment against men and women because of their hard speeches and their ungodliness. That was a message that Enoch had in his day to men in their sin. I think of Noah, and Noah being warned of God, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. For God had said the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of men are only evil continually. He said, I'll destroy the earth with a flood. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house. I think of Isaiah as he saw the people of his day. He said, from the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there's no soundness in it. Nothing but bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. That's what God, my friend, sees tonight in the city of Vancouver. Why, even the mayor sees that. And that's why they're putting out their laws to try and stop the prostitution on the streets. My friend, that's only one segment of sin. Come now, as Isaiah saw the pollution of sin among men and women, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're blazing tonight. The sin of adultery. The sin, my friend, of murder that lies in your heart. That evil sin, my friend, that is breaking homes. That wickedness, my friend, that causes a man to do anything or a woman to do anything. They might satisfy their lust, have their way. That sin of pride. That sin, my friend, it has no regard for any kind of moral standards. S-I-N, sin, lies at the root of the problem, my friend, of mankind tonight. And God, from heaven, it says, come now, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be blazing, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I think of Ezekiel. And as Ezekiel looks in his day, he says, as he cries out to the people from his heart, as he says, say unto them, as God gives him that message, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Of the wicked turn from his ways. O turn ye, for why will you die? Listen, unsaved one tonight. In your sin, traveling in it, loving it, and going for it. God says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye, for why will you die? Will you turn tonight from your sin? Why will you die in your sin? Why will you die and go to the place that Jesus said this man did? Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou die as you are? These men meant business when they preached. These were the messages that came from their hearts, directly from God, as they warned the people of the sin of their day. I think of Daniel, as he came before a wicked king. Thou art weighed in the balances, found wanting. God, friend, has laid your soul in a balance tonight, and it's wanting. It's wanting. You have sinned. You say, well, I've got some good things too. And I, my friend, listen. God will not accept the righteousness of your works. God has only one place of righteousness, and it's found in the cross where Jesus died. You're weighed in the balances tonight, and God says, you're found wanting. You're found wanting. I think of Paul, as he comes on the scene, and he gives us this wonderful message, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. There's cleansing for your soul. Oh, I think of men and women tonight, as their souls are in darkness and are discouraged. We mentioned the other night, 260 teenagers every week in the United States are committing suicide. They're facing the facts of sin, and they can't go on any longer with it, and they blow themselves out of this scene, my friend, only into that awful place called hell. There's a better way. Be it known unto you, is there a troubled soul? Is there somebody burdened down? Somebody that's looking for a way out to escape? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe shall be justified from all things that you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That was Paul's message. John writes it this way, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life." You can have eternal life, friend, through Jesus Christ. But Peter says these words, "What shall he end be? What shall he end be, my friend, to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ?" You've only one escape. It's to the cross of Calvary. And I'd just like to close with this. As we think of that woman, Rebecca, in Genesis chapter 24. Friend, I want to leave you with Christ tonight. We're trying to stir your soul about your sin. And we're trying to warn you, don't go with this man. But I want to tell you, friend, of the one you should go with tonight. Genesis chapter 22, we see a man and his son, and God has told them to go up into a mountain, and God has said, "I want you to offer that boy there upon that mountain as a sacrifice." You say, "God told him to do that?" Yes. Abraham went with Isaac, and he laid him on the altar, and he bound him there, and he took the knife. You say, "Is he really going to do it?" Abraham recognized and had faith that God was able to raise him from the dead, and he was going to obey God. Oh, what faith, friend, what confidence he had. And as he was about to take his son in sacrifice, God said, "Lay not thy hand upon thy son." And in the thicket there was caught a ram, and the ram was taken, Isaac was released, and the lamb was put in his place, the ram. And the ram was offered as a sacrifice to God. Now, friend, it's a very simple thing. It simply tells us this, that God demands payment for sin. And God in the Old Testament always showed the way of approach to God must be by the way of sacrifice and by the way of blood. And in that picture of Isaac, Isaac stood back and he said, "My, there's a substitute for me. There's one dying in my place. It's only an animal, I know. But it's a death of the animal, and there's a shedding of the blood of the animal." And all through the Old Testament, there were animals offered upon altars, and blood was shed. And they all pointed forward, my friend, as types and pictures of one who would come and be born of the Virgin and walk a holy, spotless life and go to a cruel cross and there to be crucified and to die for our sins. And he's called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I want to tell you, friend, tonight, I want to present to you Jesus Christ, God's salvation. It's not in me, it's not in you, it's not in a religion, it's not in an organization, it's in a person. The Son of God, said the apostle when he came to know Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And on the cross of Calvary, the old account was settled, friend. The account that's against you because of your sin has all been dealt with through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And tonight God says to the sinners of men and the sinners upon the earth, "Whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Genesis chapter 24. We have a servant. We're hearing of a silent spirit. Not always striving with man. He's real. Maybe he's spoken to you tonight. We trust, maybe, friend, that warning of not striving with you, the Spirit of God, about your sin and your course. The Spirit of God, my friend, might be moving on your soul tonight. And like the servant, a picture of the Holy Spirit in chapter 24. Now that chapter 22 is over, a picture of Calvary. God wants to gather in a people for his name and for his son, a bride, a bride, a bride. And in the world tonight, the gospel is being preached and the offer is being made to whosoever will. God is calling sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, and He wants you to be part of His bride. He wants to make you pure and clean inside. He wants to regenerate you by the Holy Spirit. He wants to make you a new creature. He wants to give you joy. He wants to liberate you from Satan. He wants to free you from your sin. There's power, 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 my friend, in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for your sins at Calvary's cross. That's the message we have. My, when the servant had done telling Rebekah of all of Isaac's riches and all of what he was, her heart was beating fast. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're saying to yourself, is it possible a poor sinner like me could be saved? Yes. And your heart may be beating and there's hope springing in your soul and you'd say, my, is it really true? It is. But here it is. Wilt thou go with this man? She had to make a choice. She could have said, no, I won't go. There's some people like that tonight in the world. And you say, wilt thou go to this man with this man? Will you come to Christ? Will you be saved? No, no, I don't want him. I want my sin. Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man? Some say no. Well, she didn't say that. She said, I will go. But I remember a number of years ago going into a little house filled with some young people, and there was a young man, carefree and full of sin. And he said, oh, he said, I don't believe in all that God thing. There's people tonight, my friend, he said, I don't believe in this born-again thing. I've seen it do this and I've seen it do that. I'll tell you, my friend, it only tells me the devil is busy. We're not talking about that which is false. We're talking about that's real. That comes from knowing Christ. And this young man in his brazen attitude said, oh, I don't believe, I'm not afraid to meet God. I'm not afraid of hell. And so I started to write something. He looked at me. And I wrote some things down. And I said, would you mind signing that? I've never met anybody just like you. And he looked at what I had written down. And what I had written down on that piece of paper. I do not want to be saved. I don't care about God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in hell. And you know, it was that piece of paper. And he looked upon it. I said, sign it. I said, put your name where your mouth is. Sign it. I'd like to have it. I've never met a fool just as bad as you. He wouldn't do it. People can be pretty brazen. Oftentimes they can laugh and make fun. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's a serious business tonight. You've got a soul. You're going to be in eternity forever, either in heaven or hell. Will thou go with this man, carefree in sin? And he died in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. My, listen, I want to close with this. When she saw Rebekah, she fell off that camel. And he caught her up. He snatched her up into his arms. Oh, I'll tell you, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother tonight. Come to the wounded side of the Savior. And you'll find peace and reality and joy, forgiveness of sins. God help you to do it.